Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 397, the stanzas 1 through 4. O Lord, thou art my God and King, and I will ever bless thy name. I will extol thee every day, and evermore thy praise proclaim. And what follows, Psalter 397, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, and there of the second chapter, the verses 1 through 7. Luke 2, the first 7 verses. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Miss Miranda Vandenberg, who was readmitted to the Calgary Hospital but was privileged to return home yesterday evening. He and the 14-month-old son of Mr. and Mrs. Brennan and Henrietta Grisnick, and Caleb, infant son of Mr. and Mrs. Andrew and Denise Mounts, who were both in the Calgary Children's Hospital with RSV and pneumonia. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then the psalmist of old has declared that thou wert good to all, and we may be recipients of that goodness in the midst of the trials and the mourning of life. And then surely then thou granteth not what we deserve. And then it is so needful each time by renewal that thou granteth profound impressions of thy goodness, and that there may be a bowing of the hearts with that adoration and that humiliation, that in such a way that thou may receive thy rightful place high and lifted up, and that something of the luster of thy glory may shine forth for us and our children. And then in this day, then we may remember thy covenant mercies, where we may be given to meditate and remember the wonder, of thy eternal decree, of thy unfathomable goodness, where thou wast sent thy dear son. Oh, the wonder that a mother brought forth a child that was even older than the mother, the eternal Son of God, who has assumed our human nature, and then it may be declared unto us and our children those glad tidings of a born Savior. But, Lord, then we need by thy free and sovereign grace the message which the shepherds have received. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And to that end, do come down with thy power and with thy Holy Spirit. And may it please thee, thou knowest how it has been in the advent season past, where we were called to meditate upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also those further exercises. Lord, may it please thee then in this day, a people dwelling in Nazareth, where the Holy Spirit has come upon them, and that is a travailing and a seeking and a desiring people, and that is a people whom thou teachest that out of their Nazareth nothing can come good forth that is good. And to that end, Lord, it is all thy work to bring a people from Nazareth, and that is through the valleys and over the mountains, and that is the leading of thy Spirit to come as a poor, a needy, a lost, an uncovered sinner to the stable of Bethlehem, and there to behold the Christ child, whose personal name has been called Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins. Lord, and then it is the work of the Spirit to make room for that only name given under heaven, whereby we must be saved. And to that end, we humbly ask thee, may it be for the conversion of sinners, to be given to realize such a precious gift that has come down from heaven with such a God-glorifying purpose and so soul-saving. What shall it be to be given to reject that only name, Lord, that is now our picture by nature, because we read in the Scriptures that there was no room in the inn. There is room for everything for the world. There is room for religion, but there is not room for our proud heart to be saved by free and sovereign grace, by a sent Savior, the gift of the Father, who has assumed our human nature, who has suffered and died, who sitteth at thy right hand, and from thence he is gathering, defending, and preserving his church. Lord, then it is needful, and then what a blessing it is, when for thy Zion, because they learn how ignorant they are in heavenly ways, and who was able to fathom it, it must be believed, but that on this very day, that new light may shine in the manger, that they may be given to see and experience matters which they have never seen and experienced before. The apostle has written to the churches, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And it is written in the Scriptures that thy dear Son is the way, the life, and the truth. And no man can come to the Father but by me, ah Lord. Be then a surprising God, and may it please thee to richly bless thy holy word in these dark and evil times, where even on a special day, then for so many, it is spent without God, without Christ, without a bowing of the knees, and ah, Lord, may in that respect we and our dear children be a separate people, all when thou worketh with thy spirit, then it shall be so. Then we hear in thy word, and that is for the encouragement of us and our dear children, that in the New Testament, oh, it was a solemn time, it was a dark time, but then thou had a remnant, a Joseph, a Mary, a Zacharias, and an Elizabeth. They have been God to sung, and there would be more that would follow. There were the shepherds, oh, a Simeon, an Anna, and many more, that waited redemption. Oh, Lord, wilt thou then remember us and our dear children? Would it not be to thy honor and for thy glory when among our boys and girls, our youth, our middle-aged, the elderly, that there were many more that were drawn by thy spirit, drawn by thy love, busy with thee, with their soul, and the need to be reconciled through that only child, O Lord. Spare that we deceive not our poor souls with some religion, some feeling and emotion. We need, as a poor and a wretched sinner, to be saved through the meritorial work of thy dear Son, to be brought back to the Father heart, and that all by the work of the Holy Spirit. So we commend thy church unto thee. Wilt thou remember our branch in this day? Wilt thou dwell among them and richly bless thy holy word to the hearts of young and old? We commend unto thee all those that are sick and afflicted, that were called upon to remain in their dwellings when they are unable to listen. Wilt thou also grant them a blessing? The handicapped daughter, by renewal, admitted yesterday evening privileged to return to her dwelling. But, ah, Lord, thou knowest the many concerns, the many difficulties that remain. Then by renewal we ask of thee, that thou may grant unto the physicians wisdom and understanding, that the means may be blessed. But, O Lord, then in these ways, then thou art continuing to knock on her heart, and that shall not continue forever. And to that end, above all things, may all the callings be sanctified in the midst of the family circles. We commend unto thee two little children, the one very young, a newborn, the other a little older, that were taken to a larger hospital with great concerns. And then we may acknowledge thee that they may be stable. Ah, Lord, continue to spread thy gracious wings over them, and may the means be blessed. Ah, then it is reason to thank thee that we may live in a time that thou wast given great wisdom in the medical field, that there may be many means which were not formerly among mankind. And to that end, in former days, so many little children have went away of all flesh, grant unto the parents a special place at thy throne of grace. Wilt thou remember and bless them on this day? The word is so different than they have expected. We commend unto thee all those that are under the physician's care in special ways, undergoing treatments. Thou knowest the fears, thou knowest the concerns. May it be blessed above all, sanctified. Remember those that have crosses and burdens, those that struggle with weakness and difficulties of the mind. Lord, we remember all the mourning ones. There are many amongst us, and as the year comes closer to the end, those empty places, they are felt and experienced every day. Wilt thou continue to uphold and to strengthen? May out of that morning another morning be born. We commend unto thee all of our elderly ones, where surely, as the year comes closer to the end, that their thought shall also multiply, that it cannot be so long before the angel of death shall be sent, and they shall be summoned to appear before thee. To that end, do grant that one thing needful. Lord, we humbly ask thee, may it please thee to open thy word, to exalt thee to the highest, the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Ghost, and that man may be abased to the lowest. Wilt thou bind the devil? Give a little rest in thy house. Take away everything that could be a hindrance, and may the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. We ask it in the full and the free remission of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 427, the stanzas 6, 7, and 8. This is the day of full salvation that God has made and sanctified. Come, let us voice our jubilation and triumph in the grace supplied. And what follows? Today there is one collection for the Calvin Christian School, Psalter 427, the stanzas 6, 7, and 8. in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Isaiah 9 and there of the sixth verse, the first and the last part. Isaiah 9, the sixth verse, the first four phrases and the last name. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. Our text words speak of the Prince of Peace. With four thoughts in the first place, a given prince. In the second place, a born prince. In the third place, a ruling prince. And in the fourth place, a reconciling prince. The Prince of Peace, a given prince, because we read in our text words, for unto us a son is given. In the second place, a born prince, for unto us a child is born. In the third place, a ruling prince, the government shall be upon his shoulders. And in the fourth place, a reconciling prince, because his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. Beloved congregation, the Lord has granted by renewal unto us and our children that on this day, that in a special way, we may be given to meditate and remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in the stable of Bethlehem, and that he was laid in a manger. There are those, there have been those, that were present with us the past year. Others that have been born and that have not been spared for their first Christmas. And then the Lord yet maketh a difference where there is no difference. And now we have heard out of Micah concerning the daughters of Jerusalem. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? May I ask you, have there been now Advent exercises in the weeks that lie behind? Are those daughters of Jerusalem that were given to cry aloud with a need, with a desire, with a thirsting, with a hungry, with a hunger, but that have also received some instruction, expectation, a pleading, concerning the advent promises, and further to be given to experience that advent rejoicing, because that true advent church that is given to rejoice already, but that church needs the fulfillment. And then we have heard it, is there no king in thee Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken hold of thee as a woman in travail. Our text words, they are taken out of the prophet Isaiah, oftentimes called the evangelist of the Old Testament. How richly and profoundly he has spoken of the coming Messiah, concerning his birth, concerning his suffering, but also concerning his exaltation. And now in this chapter, then in our text, what a profound proclamation of the coming Son of God. And then in the context, because we have heard it, that a people was addressed, and now the Lord has a people upon the earth, over Christendom, they apply everything to themselves, but the true child of God is so afraid to take the children's bread. And now we have heard it, that in the north of the land, that there was a people afflicted in the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterward it were grievously afflicted by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. Oh, in the land of Canaan, that people that dwelt in the northern part in Galilee, they were despised. They were looked down upon. The people considered them as a backward people, that they were not advanced and not enlightened as the people that dwelt closer to Jerusalem, to the south of Samaria. But then what a precious promise. Because for the light of the world, then it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make room for that only name given under heaven. And then a special promise, the people that walked in darkness shall see a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. That speaks of the prophetical office of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord works, then that people love to sit at the feet of that great promise. Prophet does not mean they have a saving knowledge of that prophet, but they need to be instructed. Oh, the Spirit instructs them concerning their desperate need, their lost condition. They have tasted of the good things of the Lord, but that people need to be reconciled with their God. And there our text speaks of, because our text words, Isaiah 9 verse 6, that speaks so richly and profoundly of the threefold office of the Lord Jesus Christ, because his name, Wonderful Counselor, that speaks of prophet. Oh, the mighty God, the Prince, that speaks of King, and concerning that peace, that speaks of the priesthood. And now we read in our text, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Thus when we read those two first phrases, that speaks of the human and the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because children, you can understand it when we read that the Son is given, that is someone who was present already, and that is the dear Son of God, the second person in the divine Trinity. Oh, do we not read in Proverbs 8 that he was set up from everlasting, that he was given to rejoice before his Father? And now the prophet Isaiah in the spirit of prophecy was given to speak of the promised Messiah promised in Genesis 3 verse 15. And to that end, a son is given. We read in 1 Timothy 3 verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. A God was manifest in the flesh unto us, as son is given. Who does that us refer to? That is an important point in this morning hour. That is the crucial point. For unto us a son is given. We read in John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, it is true. In this day, then the glad tidings of a born Savior in the city of David, that comes to each and every one of us. There in this declared congregation, that it is possible for each boy and girl, youth, middle-aged, and elderly to be saved through that precious gift in the manger, the Son of God, the Son that is given. But it needs to be applied, because it is clear in the Scriptures that the Son has not come. The glad tidings are proclaimed, but he has come for his chosen church. And there may be some say, there we have it again. The secret things belong to the Lord. The revealed things unto us and our children. And then it is commanded by the King of the Church that we must lay down our weapons of enmity, that we must come and bow before the King of Kings and beseech him that we may be saved. And we read in John 6 verse 37, all that the Father has given me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. And then in this morning, then over the manger, oh, then the Lord is calling young and old. Oh, how terrible it shall be to refuse. And then I hear one say, but I cannot come. Hold on to that. But may I ask you, how seriously have you tried? Have you done everything in your power to forsake sin and come to the Lord? May we come in the guilt. Ah, the Savior. He has come for guilty ones. Thus then it is clear, that text, John 3, verse 16, often misused, taken out of the context of Scripture. And so we also live in a day with the ease of printing that many old fathers, Puritans, are being reprinted, but only portions that do not tell us what everything. Because when we only take portions, then we can get a complete different perception of what they have preached and taught. For God so loved the world. It is clear that that is not the whole world, because they read in John 17, I pray not for the world, but for which thou was for them which thou was given me. But now the Son is given by the Father. That is Christmas. The Father's gift to fallen mankind, that there may be a way that sons and daughters of Adam may be reconciled, brought into that blessed communion, that they may be given to praise the Lord, and that in a way that all of God's attributes, that they are glorified and harmonized. Thus the Son given by the Father. And what a great gift that was. When we consider the value of a gift, then we may consider different matters. The forethought that is went into that gift. Sometimes fathers and mothers, then they discuss it. What must we give to our boy or girl, maybe for his birthday? Then in the second place, what it has cost the giver. You can understand boys and girls. If there is a rich man that gives a gift, something that he does not need, that otherwise he would throw in the garbage, and he gives it to a poor man, that could still be valuable. But then it did not cost the giver so much. How much the giver values the gift. Oh, the gift of the Son. For unto us a Son is given. So beautiful typified in Genesis 22. Where the Lord has commanded Abraham, offer thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, a gift. How many we have, let's say boys and girls, that there was a man that had 100 of those things, of those gifts, and he gives one away, that would be good. But if he only had one and he gave it away, it would be a greater gift. Hudson Taylor, he has written, as a young man, he was sent to a missionary to China. And of course, that was a very difficult parting, even more for his dear mother. Oh, many tears. And then later, he has written, I think perhaps that my mother, when I have departed from her for a purpose, bringing the gospel to a heathen people in a faraway country, that mother perhaps understood a little of John 3, verse 16. The Father's love, of course, only in part. Can never compare human circumstances, never a perfect comparison, but that he believed Mother understood a little of it. Then concerning the value of a gift, what it can be used for, can be gifts. Let's say, boys and girls, if we receive a candy, we eat it, and maybe not even nutritious, and it's gone. But there are other gifts that hopefully we can use for a long time. Then it becomes much more valuable, and unto us a son is given. For how many shall the gift be useful? Oh, a great multitude John sought on the island of Patmos, a multitude that could not be numbered. Oh, further, unto us a son is given. How shall the son now be received? John 1, verse 9. Came unto his own, and his own received them not. The Father knew perfectly what would happen with his dear son. The end would be that he would be crucified. May I ask you, congregation, unto us a son is given. Has he become necessary? His name, Matthew 1, verse 21, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins. Have we become a sinner? We learn to weep many a tears because of our sin. Because Jesus has come to save sinners. They that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick. So the prophet Isaiah in our text, given to speak that the eternal Son of God, that he would assume our human nature. The Holy Spirit has come upon the Virgin Mary, and so he was born in a dark stable and laid in a manger. Our second thought, a born prince, for unto us a child is born. That speaks of a human nature. That speaks of the great wonder that has taken place in Luke 1, when the Holy Spirit has come upon the Virgin Mary, the power of the highest would overshadow her. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And now for the birth of this prince, Lord in his providence. He rules over everything, knowing the end from the beginning. Known unto God are all his works from eternity. Then the Lord in his providence has used an other prince, an earthly prince. Caesar Augustus originally had another name, Julius Caesar Octavianus, but Augustus, whether the Senate has given that name or he himself, that name means to be exalted, has done much good for his empire, has built many roads and bridges to make travel easier. Oh, later the Apostle Paul would use those roads and those bridges. It's not the purpose why Caesar Augustus had built them. Then further he has stated when he became Caesar in 27 B.C., that he has found the kingdom in stone and he has raised it up in marble. And now for the Prince of Peace to be born in Bethlehem, then the Lord has used another prince, Caesar Augustus, to fulfill all his counsel. Caesar Augustus, of course, did not know of Joseph and Mary dwelling in Nazareth with a great need, the riddle, and a perplexity. A mother that was expecting a child, the promised Messiah, and to be the promised Messiah, he must be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5 verse 2 clearly declared. And now for the prince to be born there, then the Caesar has made a decree for the coffers of his kingdom, that in due time, that also the land of Canaan would be taxed. Ah, the wonderful works of the Lord. For a few souls that were at their wits' end, 9 months, and living in Nazareth. And now the Lord has a people that know what it is to travail, but it can all be so closed up and so hidden. But now his name shall be called Wonderful. Oh, then the messengers have come. Was an unforgettable time. Joseph and Mary, they could tell how they have come to Bethlehem. And so the Lord also has a people, by the work of the Holy Spirit, that they can tell how they have come to Bethlehem, to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. How would Joseph and Mary, they must have wept. They must have sung the praises of their God for his wonderful works. That great prince Augustus was used, that the Prince of Peace may be born in the promised place. And upon that decree, then the Israelites have traveled to the place of the birth of their forefathers, some going to Bethlehem, many others going to other cities. May I ask you, congregation, where's our journey to? Where's our journey to? Have we set our face Zionwards? Have we received instruction concerning Bethlehem? Have we received further directions? And that people can tell. Because between Nazareth and Bethlehem was a distance, through valleys and through mountains. And now we read in our text, it is by true saving faith that the prophet Isaiah was given to prophesy, for unto us a child is born. And they have come to Bethlehem. Must continue, but let us ask the question. There was not room in the inn for Jesus. And it is true. Undoubtedly, the innkeeper did not know that Mother Mary was expecting the promised Son of God. And it is true, we can understand it, that it was a very busy time, that there were already many in the inn, but there was no room. And how is it now in our life and in our heart concerning the dear Son of God? Oh, when we are small boys and girls, and this Christmas story is told to us, and we hear of that people in Bethlehem, then we can even become a little angry at them. That they did not, that there was no one to say it simply, boys and girls, that there was no one in that inn when Joseph and Mary, expecting a child any moment, that they did not come forward and that they said, innkeeper, then I shall give my place over. That Joseph and Mary have a place. How is it with our time, thoughts, our memory? Do we resemble that people? And not only to learn, no room, but Romans 8 verse 7, that the carnal mind is enmity against God. Nevertheless, he has come. It is written, for unto us a child is born, that is that precious Christ child, that is the Savior of the world, who has come to save his people from their sins. Let us first sing. Psalter 50, the stanzas 2 and 3. All kindreds of the nations to Christ the Lord shall turn. Though earth's remotest regions, his altar fire shall burn. And what follows, Psalter 50, the stanzas 2 and 3. the Prince of Peace, a given prince, a born prince, and now thirdly, a ruling prince. The daughter of Jerusalem has cried out aloud, "Is there no king in thee?" And we have heard it can also be translated, "Is there no king among thee?" And now when we consider the precious names, then the first took up his prophetical office, and then further, and then we read of the kingly office of Christ. And then he is called the Prince, not a Prince, but the Prince. So we read of him, of the exalted Prince in Revelations 1 verse 5, the Prince of the kings of the earth. And in Revelations 19 verse 16, he was called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The prophet Isaiah is given to prophesy that Christ, that he would be the King of his church. And concerning the King, the power of the King, because the church, there can be circumstances that they need a mighty prince. Think of Abraham, when he has become so old with his dear Sarah, without the promised child. The everlasting father, that refers to the tender care of the prince over all his people, over his sheep. And now this prince, he was born in the manger of Bethlehem, and it is true, his glory was much obscured, but that glory would soon begin to shine forth. Oh, for Joseph and Mary, was such a mysterious way for them, where Christ was not born in a palace, but born in a dark stable with beasts, and that it was so in silence, but soon it would become manifest that indeed, that the Lord Jesus Christ was the promised Savior, and that he was the Prince that was promised. Also by the prophesied of by the prophet Isaiah. And then how surely that it became evident that he indeed was the promised prince. Oh, think of the angels in the fields of Ephrata, how gloriously they have sung. Oh, think of the wise men. Oh, think of a Simeon that has embraced that child, and that he has spoken so gloriously of the prince that the Father has sent. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, as the Lord has promised unto them. Oh, then the wise men, they would come to worship the Prince of Peace in the manger. And now the question is, on this day, has he become our prince? Lord, as a people that does not only need to be saved, to be restored, a right to heaven, but a people that also loves the prince's service. They have received by the Spirit a royal heart from that royal prince. And to that end, that is a people that does not only need a prince that may provide for them, as he has done with Elijah, sent the ravens. They need it, but not only. Not only a prince to protect them, as the Lord has watched over Elisha and his servant on Dothan, they do not only need a prince to help them out when they have difficulties, sickness, trials, can be so manifold upon this world, because that we all need. What a blessing it is. The Lord has commanded all our needs and trials. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee. And the last part. And thou shalt glorify me. But now the true Zionite, concerning that prince, they also desire and need a prince whom they may worship, whom they may adore, whom they may bow before, whom they may obey, and in whose army they may be enrolled. Called the Prince, and who is now our King. That becomes evident by their fruits. Ye shall know them. Thus concerning the born prince, the born king, then we have the Bible, where it is written and declared the marks of those whom have by free and sovereign grace become subjects of that prince, all their riddles, their questions, also their walk, their worship. Oh, when the Lord works, then the desire is born that all people would become subjects of this prince. We also read of another prince in the Bible. Read of him in Ephesians 2 verse 2. According to the prince of the power of the air, which now worketh in the children of disobedience. O, the prince. How many? Think of the day of Pentecost. 3,000 have been placed under that banner of Prince, great multitudes. And that is now the greatest need. There's a glorious message. There's an astonishing message. It is an encouraging message that Jesus has come into the world, a given son, a born child, to save sinners. But if we are not included, we refuse to bow under the authority, the word, the law of this prince, then we can understand that it is not well. And if we continue, that it shall not be well, because we cannot win against this prince. We cannot hold up against. He is the mighty God. Matthew 28, verse 18. All power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Ah, then we see the necessity on this very day. May that be our prayer. Come down with thy Spirit in beginning and the further leadings. Oh, that on this day for the true Zionite, new light may shine to be given to behold the blessedness of the Christ child. But now those subjects of the prince, they have a great concern. They have much grief. They have much sorrow. Because they have offended the Lord by their sins. Do we not read in Isaiah 48 verse 22 that there is no peace for the wicked? And to that end, the wonder. That last name does not say prince, then period, but the Prince of Peace. And that is our forethought that speaks of a Prince of Reconciliation. Genesis 3 verse 15. We read of enmity. Through our deep fall, we have declared war against the Lord. Thus that Prince of Peace that points us to our great and manifold sins, original and actual, points us to Genesis 3, the verses 23 and 24, where our first parents were driven out of the garden, cherubims with that flaming sword that turned every way. And now concerning that separation that is so bitter for the true Zionite. And maybe boys and girls, you think then it is not so difficult. Then we believe in Jesus, it is well. That is true. But faith is a gift of God. And it is so hidden. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 3, no one can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. And now the Spirit makes room for that Prince. And the Prince and the Triune God does not share his glory. Also concerning the saving of a son and daughter of Adam. Does not share. It shall not be with the Lord that he receives 90% and man 10%. There's a good question to ask people concerning the cause and origin of man's salvation, where it begins, whether with God or with man. And also the working out and application of that salvation does not take away our responsibility. But now the wonder for a people that have learned it. Oh, are there a few souls in my midst? So restless. The false peace has been taken away. Because the devil tries to give us peace, try to keep us at rest. Can be with many thoughts, with many lies. It can be as an angel of light. but for the true Zionite. Oh, concerning that peace, it is true. When the Lord comes over, when they may glean somewhat, when they may be encouraged, when the love is shed abroad in their heart, and there can be times that unrest is taken away. But for the true Zionite, his name has been called Jesus because he has come to save his people from their sins. And now the wonder that he is called the Prince of Peace. He has come, humble birth, suffered, died, paid the price, satisfied the justice of his Father, and to that end, that peace is given, may be experienced. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that word peace in the original language, that is a very broad and a profound word. It means harmony, prosperity, safety, means health. And now in the manger of Bethlehem, oh, what a rich gospel. For a poor and a needy sinner, what a rich gospel in that manger. Now lieth the Prince of Peace, the bread of life, the Lamb of God, the Lord, our righteousness. There lieth the pearl of great price. There lieth the satisfaction to the justice of God for a lost and a hell-worthy sinner. There lieth in the manger everything that the true child of God needs. In that precious name of Jesus, there is declared that there is peace for the child of God. And now in this morning, then the King, to say it simply for our boys and girls, then that preaching of the manger of Bethlehem, then the Lord, he places before us a white flag of peace. It has happened when there were two countries at war, and one country has besieged the city, then that army, the general, he would come to that city with a large flag, a large white flag, telling that city, if you now give up and surrender, hand in your weapons, then there shall be peace and you shall not be destroyed. But the white flag of peace shall only be held up, displayed for a certain time. And if you refuse, then the white flag shall be taken down, and then the general shall come with the black flag. And that means that war is declared and the city shall be destroyed. And now in the message of the born Savior, then it is that message of a white flag to each and every one of us. We have heard it so often already. We read of that prince, and those are solemn words. The words of that prince, oh, in this day, instead of the Lord declaring fire and brimstone, then he still declares that there is a Prince of Peace. But we read of Jesus in Luke 19, verse 42. Oh, that he has wept over Jerusalem, because that people did not want to repent and did not listen. Self-righteous. If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, still thy day, congregation, the day of grace, the day of salvation, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the thing which belong unto thy peace. But then he has added, but now they are hid from thy eyes. The necessity for the prayer for the Holy Spirit, and it's written in the Bible that as we come closer to the end of the world, that even natural peace among the people, among the nations, that shall be much removed. And in the chapters 14, 15, and 16 of Revelation, there it speaks different times of the wrath of God. But now in this day, may be declared a born Savior, a way to be saved. May it please the Lord to work mightily and wonderfully in the hearts of us and our children. By the first time to learn that need to be brought to the manger of Bethlehem and to behold there the Son that was given, Paul has written to the church, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Amen. Let us close. Lord, who was able to declare the wonder, the depth, the riches, the comfort of the manger of Bethlehem. May it please thee to grant the application. Ah, Lord, we have heard that thy dear Son has wept over an unrepentant Jerusalem. May we be given to examine ourselves. Remember us and our children, the family circles. Watch over us in this day. Return us in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 200, the stanzas 1 and 2 and 4. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest regions shall his empire be. And what follows, Psalter 200, 1, 2, and 4. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.